I'm going to finish Hosea, alright? No, it's not going to be a long night, don't worry, I've cut it into four main points. But let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 as a beginning, as an introduction, and we'll complete Hosea chapter 11 to 14, okay? Chapters 11 to 14, that's a lot, but I'm going to cut it into four points, alright, from chapter 11 to 14. But I want to start off with Hebrews 11 first. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. Okay, title tonight, Returning to God. Returning to God. I'll just read, and then you follow along, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, and God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate. Alright, that is in our modern day context, that word is a bad word. Alright, but in those days of the King James translators, that word simply means someone who doesn't have a lawful father or mother. Okay, and not sons. Furthermore, if we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Spirit, Father of spirits, and live? Father of spirits refers to God our Heavenly Father. For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's pray, alright, and ask God to speak to us. Lord, we acknowledge your holiness. We acknowledge your blessing, Lord, even as we've shared. Lord, we can see many people are being blessed in different ways. And Father, I pray that this may be genuine blessings from heaven. And Lord, even as a church, you are blessing us with a place in land scarce Singapore. A time when many churches is not even thinking about having a place. But yet, Lord, for the permanency of your ministry and ambassador, I believe you have seen fit, Lord, to give us. Lord, we do not know where. Tomorrow may be a possibility. We don't know. We only ask for you to direct us. Lord, your words teach us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, we are asking you now. We acknowledge you now. We ask you from the bottom of our hearts to direct us to the place you want us to have. If it be what we think of for tomorrow, tomorrow's place, Lord, make it very clear. Lord, we know there are many, many processes that needs to be done. But God, we know if God be for us, who can be against us? So Lord, we ask for your leadership. As you have led us these 7 years in ambassador, you are not just going to leave us, Lord. As you have brought so many people in, as a sign and as a sign of your encouragement to us, Lord, help us not to take all these things for granted. Today, as we remain faithful to your word, as we see, Father, what you are doing in the lives of your people, I ask, Lord, that we will be faithful to your word above all. Because in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, you are looking for people who will tremble at your word. And Lord, to have a reverential fear, a love for you and a fear for you. We thank you, Father, that there will be a remnant. And Lord, we pray you speak to us now. Speak to us in a personal way. And show us what it means, Lord, to come back to you in a way that will honor you, Lord. And I pray your Holy Spirit will guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Just highlight a few points from Hebrews 12, verse 6. Number one, for whom the Lord loveth. You can take down notes, alright? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Notice the condition for God's discipline. God loves, therefore he chastens. Okay, God loves, therefore he chastens. And can I say this? If ye be without chastening, if you are continuing in your sin, if there's something that we are doing privately and there don't seem to be anything that is a consequence, you will find that over time you get very used to it. Alright? And can I just blanket say, as pastor for many, many years, I've seen many times people who choose not to obey God and God has to come down hard on that person. And I say, look, come on, just do right. Come on, why don't you just do right? And you would avoid all the problems. But you know, they chose not to, and they go down the wrong path. In verse 7, God says, verse 6 first, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. The word scourge there is the same word used when they scourge Jesus. In other words, when God comes down on a person, God comes down hard. And you know, it's a sad thing for a pastor with tears in my eyes. Many times when I hear, I've had to sadly, over the phone, tell some people, look, there's this situation some time back, whereby this person called me, and this person said certain things have happened, and this person was not involved in that thing. This person said, I'm trying to encourage this person. I just had to tell him, look, you cannot encourage them anymore. God has just unleashed His judgment. It has to do with litigation. It has to do with being sued. And say, look, that person didn't want to listen in the first place. Whatever you say now is too late. God has actually put now. God is going down the next level of judgment. You know? But you know what? I told this person, I'm encouraged. Because it shows that that person is a Christian. It's not encouraging to hear the bad news. But it's encouraging when we look from a spiritual perspective, because Bible's for God scourge every son whom he receiveth. Now I've endured that before, I've been through that before. Some Christians have been through that before. They come out and they realize actually God wanted me to grow in the first place. Okay, in verse 7, Hebrews 12:7, if ye endure chastening, and some people when the bad things come, they kind of just, why is God dealing with us? Until they realize actually it's because of my sin, God does that to me. God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Children, are you listening to this verse? If your father chastens you or spanks you, it's because he's your father. He loves you. Right? 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 The children don't want to shake their head. No one to nod their head. He is. The Bible teaches our parents will chasten us if we do wrong. Okay? Then in verse 8, if your dad doesn't chasten you, it means two things. Number one, either you don't belong to your dad or your dad don't care. Any Christian dad will care for their parents or Christian parents. And then going down to verse 11, notice a few things. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. It's always a hard time. Mama, pain. Grievous, you know. Heavy. The word grievous means heavy to be born. But nevertheless, afterwards, the goal, notice the goal of discipline, it is to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God wants us to be righteous. And notice, we will only be righteous after discipline if we are willing to submit to it. Because the Bible says, unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, you go through it and you're willing to go through the pain and say, yes, it's my fault and God help me to change. God says, I will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness afterwards. Okay? Now, as that is the background, let's look at Hosea chapter 11. Okay? Hosea chapter 11, 4 points. And because in Hosea chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, some of the themes are repeated again. And so what I've done is lumped up 4 main points, and I'll highlight the verses as you go along. I have there given you those verses, okay, so that you can write down the points. And either restoration and return to God. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll start there. Under there, the first point is the pride of Israel. The pride of Israel, okay? The pride of Israel. In verse chapter 11, Hosea 11 verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, in this particular verse, the allusion is to the time when God delivered Israel out of Egypt in the time of the Exodus. Remember? In the second book of the Bible, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he says this, when Israel was just a child, he was just developing, I loved him, okay, and I called him out. Okay, the number one thing about Israel's pride is they forgot God's deliverances. They have forgotten God's deliverances. God had to remind them, remember when you were way in Egypt, I brought you out. Okay? That's the first point. Then in 11 verse 2, I'll just go a bit fast because it's quite a number. As they called them, the word they there refers to the prophets. As they called them, it refers to the prophets. So they, Israelites, went from them. Does that make sense? Okay, you really have to study the phrase. As they, the prophets, were calling the Israelites went from them who were the prophets. Does that make sense? Kind of like when a pastor preaches or when God speaks to you through the reading of His Word, and God is calling out to these people, but you know what they're doing? They're walking away from God's call. And they then is sacrificed unto Baalim and burnt incense to graven images. The prophets of the Lord has been calling the people of Israel, but the people of Israel has went from the prophets of God. And they sacrifice to the gods of this world, the demands, the social philosophies of this world. They literally worship there. The idea here is they actively contributed to the worship of these gods. They're just part and parcel of the whole thing. Okay, I know. The second point here, under the pride of Israel, they were so proud. Number one, they forgot God's deliverances. Number two, they were so proud, they ignored God's call. They just blatantly, whatever God says. Can I say this? One of the things that is very concerning for me as a pastor, at an all-time low, right now, is spiritual commitment to God. Whereby, regardless of what happens to us, God wants us to be committed to Him. But you know, despite the call of God, ready? Sorry, I just focus, alright? The pride of Israel. Despite the preaching of God's word, we totally ignore the calling of God. Literally, they sacrifice unto Baalim. As they, the prophets called them, the people just ignored and rejected God's call, the pride of Israel. Hosea chapter 11 verse 3, moving on, God says, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. You know, this is, when I studied this, you know what's happening? I taught Ephraim also taking them by their arms. That literally means when a little child, for example, starting to walk, a parent will hold the child's arms as they start to walk, right? So that they can learn to begin to walk. As a mother stoops down to take up the child, arm of the child to walk, God did the same with Israel. God actually literally brought the Israelites out by hand, out of Egypt, with the hand of Moses. But you know, in verse 3, the Bible says, but they knew not that I healed them. The word healing then refers to forgiveness, and this is very important. God, they knew not that I healed them, refers to forgiveness despite their rebellion in the wilderness. As God brought the Israelites out from Egypt by the hand of Moses, His servant, as they, you know, I was, for me, in my private study, I'm doing Exodus. You know how many times the children of Israel murmured against Moses? And when they murmured against Moses, God heard. God judged them. So when you murmur against Moses, God says, you're murmuring against me, and God judged them. And you know, the people of Israel went through the wilderness, they knew not that God actually healed them, forgave them, even though they didn't know it. I want to say this. You know how many times God forgave us, even though we didn't ask Him? Alright? So take note of that, because of the pride of Israel, they didn't know. So it also refers to God actually preventing diseases upon the Israelites in Egypt. Can I ask you a question? Christians, how many times God has saved us from things even when we didn't know it? Now, I just had an interesting illustration I must actually tell you. You know, there are two ways that God saves us from things in this world. When we are in God's will and we are out of God's will. Okay? When we are in God's will, how God protects us, and when we are out of God's will. Okay? Now, I had one interesting, me and Esther Joy, we were in the van. Okay? I think it was yesterday. She went out with me to do something. And as I was turning the van, she was falling out. Then she said, wee! You know, it's like very fun in the van, right? You, wee! You know, immediately the spiritual application. The van, as I think, represent God's will. Okay? As long as Esther Joy is within the van, she can wee fall, and she can actually bounce back pretty, and she's safe. Can you imagine though, there was one time, it was Joanna. I think she was about 3 or 4 years old. This time in Chongpang, that was many, many years ago, I remember my wife shouting at me, "Oi!" Because as I was saying, the door swung open and Joanna was in the seat. But thank God she didn't fall out. That's why she's still here. You know what I learned? Immediately, God, I must share this, because when we're within God's will, we can stumble and fall. Christians, as we walk with God, we will stumble and fall, but you know what? We'll still be safe. Amen? God's hand is still there. But when we reject God and we step out of God's will, you fall. God is not under any obligation to protect us. Does that make sense? And when you hurt, you get hurt very badly. Alright, so just want to put that there. Don't ignore God's call when He calls us. Hebrews 11 verse 4, the next point. I drew them, this is just amazing. I drew them with cords of a man. In other words, with cords of love. With bands of love I drew them. I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Just John, you want to come out? Can I borrow you for a while? Okay. The Bible says, I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. Just pretend Esther Joy is a donkey. You alright? Okay, let's pretend that you're a donkey, okay? Okay? Don't laugh, next time I'll call you. What do they put? You know when oxen, they actually put the yoke on their mouth so that the plowman can actually pull him. God said, after all your labor and all your hard work and your strife and your tiredness, I was the one who took off the yoke from your mouths. Does it make sense? Okay, so that's what God did to the children of Israel. Thank you, children of Israel, children of Johnny. God took out the yoke from their jaws. That represents God relieving us with His grace and His mercies. How many times we feel so stressed and then God delivers us with something? God kind of, thank you Lord for the example. This whole week, Mother's Day, was said that it was the hottest day in for a long time, I think so. In 6 years, hottest time in 6 years, he reads the newspaper all the time. Hottest time in 6 years. And guess what? Last 2 days it rained, and now it's rained also. So as you come to church also, that's why it's so cool, you know. God give us a breath of fresh air, relief. Can I say this? Many times Christians, you go through trials and difficulties and you come to the end of your road. What does God do? He comes and take off the yoke from your jaws to give you that relief. And I laid meat unto them. What does that mean? I provided for them. I provided for them. You know, if you need friendship, God with friendship. If you need spiritual nourishment, God provides the church. You can go on the internet, you can listen to sermons, you have your Bibles. You need some help. We need a place. God's It's just amazing that I see these two gentlemen. It's like almost tears came to my eyes when I realized they have took out their life savings to give it for this, and they're not even members of our church. They love the Lord. It's pretty obvious. But you know, at this point, the pride of Israel, listen, they were ungrateful to God's leading and care. They were ungrateful. The children of Israel, because of their pride, they were ungrateful to God's leading and care. And let me ask you, what are some good things God has done for us? Many good things that God has done for us, right? Let me ask you a question, how is your response? Can I say this? The reason why we don't respond in a way that will be honoring to God is because of our pride. The pride of Israel has caused them, no matter what God has done, that's not important, that's what I want is more important. And so their pride has stopped them. Or rather, pride has increased their ungratefulness to God in verse 6. Moving on to Hosea 11 verse 7. My people were bent to backsliding. That means they actually have a heart to backslide from God. They have a heart that is bent on moving away from God. Let me ask you a question, this is very important. That will help you to detect whether there's any backsliding tendency in your heart. What is the root cause of backsliding? Anyone? What is the root cause of moving away from God? The root cause of moving away from what you know is right. Let's turn to Hebrews, okay? God has the answer. The root cause. If you can identify this in your life, get rid of it, and you'll find yourself walking with God again. Hebrews chapter 3. I'll show you the root cause of moving away from God. Okay, the root cause. In verse 12, let's read together, right? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What is the root cause? Unbelief. You know what does that? What is unbelief? What is unbelief? Can I say this? Everything that we do comes from a system of what we believe in. Did you know that? How many of you know of people who eat? Okay. Eat certain things. How many of you know of people who don't really eat proper meals, they just eat junk food? And when it comes to proper meals, like for example, children, I must eat the rice and green vegetable. Okay, lor. Then they eat 2 spoons. They tend to choke. But you know what? You put Pringles. You put M&M's. You put Pepsi Twist. You put Walls ice cream. Is it Walls? What Walls now, right? Or you put Marigold Neapolitan with lots of nuts and thousands, hundreds and thousands. You put anything else but proper food. And all of a sudden, he doesn't choke. Okay? You know why? They believe that these are good for them. They suddenly believe, actually, I'm going to have stomachache. Why? You realize that the reason why we do things is it stems from a system of belief that you have. You know why people sometimes just don't come to church? Or sometimes people just don't pray? As much as, yeah, you could be lazy and all that, you know what? Let me ask you, if you really believe in something, you do it. Right? If you really believe in something, you will do it. But you know what? Notice the next verse in Hebrews 3, in verse 13. You know what Paul tells the Jewish believers to do? Exhort one another daily. Do you know why, as pastor, I emphasize the attendance at church? Do you know, teens, how often did the early church go to church? For those who came on Saturday, how? And they continued daily in the temple. The early church were in church every day. Okay? You know what Paul says, but exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can I ask you a question? Do you know why at the invitation time on Sundays, sometimes you guys know, or I know, what I'm supposed to do, but I find it hard to do. You know why? Through the weekdays, you have been hardened by the things you hear, the things you see, the thoughts you think, the friends you make with. They begin to harden you to the things of God. I've seen that so often. That's why I tell the men leaders, decisions on Sundays are made during the weekdays. Did you know that? Decisions for Christians are made on Sundays during the weekdays. If we don't visit them, Spurgeon, my old friend said this, an unvisited church will soon be a dead church. That's why you guys find me disturbing you all the time, right? Roger, Johnny, please don't SMS me already. I've had people say, get out of my life. But you know what? I believe this verse. Because humanly speaking, we will be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, but exhort one another. What exhort? Do you realize the word exhort is the same Greek word for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, paraklektos, meaning continue to walk beside the person, because through the daily walk we will be hardened. That's why parents are so important for you to be with your children. We need to walk beside them. Why? Because otherwise we become hardened. You know what the point here in Hosea 11 verse 7? The people now have a habit of backsliding, although they have been continuously warned by God. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High. The prophets were calling them. They were calling them to the Most High, But you know what? The point is their heart is changed towards God. Have you spoken to a Christian who has been faithful and after a while they begin to say, oh, no, you know why? Nothing has changed. You know, I've always, it always amazes me. And I've learned over the years to just work with these people and say, look, I haven't changed, you have. I'm still in church every week, there's nothing changed. You have changed towards your heart. Last time you were like this, but now you are like this. Okay? The heart has changed towards God. The pride of Israel in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 7, moving on, alright? He's a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. The change in Israel, the word merchant in the Hebrew means Canaan. In other words, the Israelite, the word merchant, interesting, is actually in the Hebrew means Canaanite. The Hebrews have become like the Canaanites. In other words, the Jewish people came out from Egypt. They are now in the promised land, the land of Canaan. God calls them merchant. God calls them the Canaanites now. Why? Because as much as they were God's people, as they come out from Egypt, when they went to the land of Canaan, they became like the Canaanites. You know, one of the messages that have been seldom preached today is worldliness. Last time in the 1970s, 80s, the preachers would preach hard against worldliness, bringing the world into the church, like rock music and different ways of expression into the church. But worldliness is something God hates. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, God says the love of God is not in you. In the context of 1 John 2:15, it has to do with salvation. In other words, if you love these things of this world, you're not a Christian during that time. But you know, here, the problem with the Jews was, they love to oppress. The point is, his backsliding from God, his causes now his oppression to man. When we walk away from God, it will always affect the people around us. In other words, we want to take advantage of them. Christians that used to be honest now become dishonest. It has happened. I've seen how deceptive people can be, how lying they can be after they've walked away from God. And I've literally seen people, last time they were prim and proper, now they're using vulgar words, cracking vulgar jokes, and as if there's nothing to it. God says, let no filthy communication come out from your mouth. Corrupt communication come out from your mouth. And his backsliding from God causes his oppression to men. Because the Bible says, he is a merchant, the balances of deceit are in his hand, he loveth to oppress, to cheat people. His departure from Jehovah has led to the deceitfulness with his fellow men. You know, many times I work with people who try to hide. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you try to hide, you've got sin in your life. If I try to hide, I've got sin in my life. Why should we hide? Transparent government, right? Huh? Talk about transparent government, right? How much reserves do we have, you know? Don't ask that question. None of your business. Why are we trying to hide? You know why? You know why did Adam and Eve hide? Because they've done wrong. Youth, parents, if we ever try to hide, this is an indication for you, if we ever try to hide from anyone, if you say, I need to stop my Facebook account, if you say, I don't want so-and-so, I have had my name blocked off Facebook by some people, I don't want so-and-so to see me. My question is, what is there to hide? The reason why people hide is because there's sin. Okay? That's what the Bible says. It's very clear from the scriptures. Oh, that's painful, Brother Johnny. I know. Let's go to here. You know what was even worse? Hosea chapter 12 verse 8. Ephraim said, yet I'm rich. I found me out of substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that was sin. I'm okay. How many times have I looked at someone who hasn't been in church, haven't been faithful, and say, I'm okay, don't disturb me. The Bible says they become self-righteous. I'm okay. Question, are we? You can be okay in your eyes, but we might not be okay in God's eyes. Okay, be very careful. Pride of Israel, self-righteousness came in. And finally, in Hosea chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, when Ephraim speak trembling, that refers to the fear of God in their hearts, but very quickly, Ephraim or Israel exalted himself. Notice the pride there again. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and they made molten images of silver and the idols according to their own understanding. All of it, the work of the craftsmen, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. The point here is that they increase in sin. Sometimes, when we don't walk with God, we will continue in our sin. In fact, there will be increase in sin. One of the things I've heard one time before, don't underestimate our ability to sin. You know, when we walk from God, there will be no restraint. I was sharing with you this about how this person, I received this phone call, and you know what, one sin led to another. And after a while, you begin to realize, I don't believe I'm doing that. There was an increase in sin. But notice very quickly here in Hosea 13 verse 1 and 2, the steps of decline. Number one, there was a fear of God and the love for Him. Then afterward, there was pride. You know, I preached a little bit on pride on Sundays. Because we're talking about the conflict and comfort. You know where does conflict come from? With pride come with contention. And here with pride, we walk away from God. Okay, the steps of decline. Number one, there was a fear of God and love for Him. Then after that, there was pride. Israel felt that he was someone. And then later on, they began to offend in Baal. They began to sin. Began to sin against the Lord. And then there was death. This was indicated by an increase of sin. They brought in the molten images. God ensured that this was just passing. Okay, number one, the pride of Israel. The question for us as we close this part. Are any of this characteristic of us? We're going to finish the book of Hosea. But you know what? Pride can do so much to us as Christians. Oh, please be careful. Number one. Number two, notice firstly the pride. Number two, the pleading of God. You know what? As I read this, this is amazing. Hosea chapter 11 verse 8. After God says, you've forgotten me. You know what He says? How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? You know what God is saying? Can I say many times as pastor, I would plead with these people, please do right. Please do the right thing. You know why? God says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adma? And how shall I set thee as Zeboim? Do you know Israel? Who is Adma? It sounds like the tea leaves or Dilma. You know, the tea bags that we have. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29. I'll show you. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. Who is this Adma and Zeboim? Deuteronomy 29 verse 23. I'll read there. The Bible says, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath. Who is this Admah and Zeboim? These are the cities related to Sodom and Gomorrah which God destroyed. You know what God says? I don't want to do that to you, Admah and Zeboim. Or rather Israel, I don't want to do that again. Why are you making me do that? In fact, God says, look, I'm angry with sin, but in my heart, my love for you is overturning me. Do you realize God is having a conflict? You think about that. How shall I give thee up? God in His holiness said, no, Israel must be punished. But in His heart, His love takes over. God basically is struggling, should I or should I not destroy Israel? Think about that. God is struggling in His heart, should I or should I not? But you know what? How can I give you up, Israel? How can I give you up? Christian. Anyone who's listening to this message over the internet, listen to this. How can God give you up? Oh Christian, listen to the love of God here. Look at verse 9. You know what? Even before Israel comes back to God, God already makes a decision. You know what's His decision? I will not execute the fierceness of my wrath. You know what that means? God did not say, I will not execute my wrath. He said, I will not execute the fierceness of my wrath. That is significant because God says, I'm going to punish you, but I'm not going to give you the full brunt. I'm going to give you everything. And sometimes I'll tell my children, I know I'm supposed to spank you 10 times. But because you were willing to listen, I'll just spank you 5. And I used to spank my children with cane. Well, I can be jailed for this, right? and how many instruments of torture has been broken in pieces. But you know, my children are still walking with God, hopefully. Don't tell me chastisement doesn't work, because God uses that and God loves. And when I look at this, I can say, God have mercy on me, that the number one, the pleading of God is based on His mercies. God, how can I give you up? It's God's mercies, isn't it? God says, how can I give you up? You know, my heart as pastor for ambassador is that we will recognize how holy God is, but how loving God is too. God says, I will never give you up. That's why in verse 9, number 2, as a result of God's pleading, God says, I'll plead with you by reducing my judgment. He says, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. Have you seen one angry person deal with another angry person? I don't care. I'm going to call my lawyers. And I'm going to spike you. You know what that means? You know what God says? I'm God and not man. You know why? When we are angry, the only person in this world that can control His anger is God. Isn't that right? When we get angry at someone, we can kind of, you know, you take things and throw, right? You know, you bang things, you smash things, huh? You know, God, I'm God, not man. That's what He means. God says, I'm the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. God's decision is that He will reduce His judgment. He said, I'm not like, I wrote here, I'm not like man who is short-fused and cannot control his anger. But you know you can, if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And so here, God says, I'm going to reduce my judgment because I love you. The pleading of God, in verse Hosea 11, verse 10 to 12, they shall walk after the Lord. You know, God is actually looking forward. Point number 3, the promise of future restoration. God says, look, I plead with you, you're going to walk after me. You're going to roar. In other words, roar like a lion means you're going to have confidence when he shall roar. Then the children shall tremble from the west. The children shall tremble from the west. Guess who God is talking about? If you study in context, it refers to us, the Gentiles. When the Israelites are confident, people will come from the west, people like us. You know, this is even prophecy of the salvation of the Gentiles. Verse 11, they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. In other words, when the Israelites moved out of Egypt, they were very frightened, but God brought them out with Moses. And as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Verse 12, Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah yet rambling with God, and is faithful with the saints. Here, God promises that there will be a future restoration, but notice there are two groups. One group will start walking after the Lord. In verse 12, there's another group who will continue living in their sin. Question is, which group will we be? When God pleads with us, you know, many times over the pulpit, I will plead, come back to God, do what is right. Which group will we be? Will we be as the Israelites, say, yes Lord, I'm sorry, I'm coming back to you? Or will we be like Ephraim, still full of deceit and lies? Children, as you listen to God's word, are you going to go back? If you don't know anything, just listen to this. I'm going to do what God says. And God is like mommy and daddy. What mommy and daddy do, I will do. You'll be fine. Okay? Alright. There'll be a promise of future restoration. Point number 4. God now appeals to the past with a promise of restoration. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 2, the Lord had also a controversy with Judah and will punish Judah according to his ways. According to his doings, will he recompense him? In verse 3, from verse 3 to verse 4, God actually talked about the difficulty that Israel had in becoming a nation, okay? Now, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength, he had power with God. Alright, that talks about, remember Jacob and Esau were with his mommy's tummy? Alright, and they were fighting with one another, okay? So, there was difficulty in bringing out the nation, yeah, verse 4. Yet he had power over the angel and prevailed. And now Jacob wrestled with the angel. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in the house of God, Bethel. And there he spake with us. This actually has to do with Israel. It took so hard for you to get to this stage. There was fighting all along. You know, even an ambassador, we have fought so hard to come to this stage. we have grown, thank God. But you know what? Pains along the way. Struggle, sacrifices by members, service, love, putting in the sweat, not too sure about blood. Maybe the most blood we have, we carry things, we get scratched, you know. Moving from house to house. But you know what? For us to get to this stage, many of you have sacrificed. Like Israel. God, you know, if you ever, you know, sometimes when we speak to people, why are you doing this? Why are you walking away from God? Can't you remember what God has done for you? Through all your trials in the past? In verse 5, Hosea chapter 12, verse 5, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is His memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, appeal once again, keep mercy and judgment, as you remember what God has done for you in the past through all your struggles. Why are you walking away from God now? That's what God is appealing to the nation of Israel. It was so hard to give birth to you as a nation. From when you were in your mommy's womb, your father, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was fighting with Esau already. And all the truth, God overcame, you overcame. Why at this point you were throwing it all away? And can I say this, Christians? It's not how you start the Christian race, it's how you finish. Does that make sense? It's not how you start the Christian race, it's how you finish. Many Christians gave up. By God's grace, as Ambassador Baptist Church members, we won't. And you need to pray for me, I need to pray for you. And we need to support one another in that process. Because you are not fighting me, I'm not fighting you. We are fighting against a cause. We are running against a cause that God has set for us. We need to run the race with everyone helping one another. As we look at what God has done for us, God says, turn down, verse 6, turn down to God. Keep mercy and judgment. Wait on thy God continually. Don't give it up. You know, my concern is as we come and God touches us on Sunday, but Monday to Sundays, we just kind of live for ourselves and live for the devil. Don't do that. You know, it does involve us making decisions. I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to do that out. You need to repent, okay? Don't take 5 years. Do it now. Do it now. Change your mind about the wrong things. Turn down to God. Wait on God continually. Verse 9, Hosea chapter 12. And I that am the Lord, thy God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast. You know what he's referring to? He's referring to the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's a celebration of God's deliverance. Once a year, there's this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what they do in the Feast of Tabernacles? Basically, as a whole nation, they go camping. They go camping. Okay? What they do is, the whole nation, they will actually pitch tents, and they will stay there inside the tents. To remind them, they were in the wilderness when they came out from Egypt. Okay? That's literally called the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay? It is a feast to remind them of their deliverance from Israel. God says, I'm going to make you celebrate. And God appeals to the past with a promise of restoration. Point number 5, under pleading of God, God appeals to Israel to make God their God so that God can help them. Alright? Now this is interesting because in verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. God just telling Israel, you have destroyed yourself. And by the way, every time we make a mess, it's because we made a decision to make a mess of our lives. God says, you have destroyed yourself, but you know, guess what? God appeals, but in me is thine help. In me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is another that may save you in all thy cities and thy judges, of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes? You know what he's saying? God is saying, I want to be your king, Israel. Remember, you rejected me and chose your philosophy as your own king, your own opinion as your own king, your own friends as your own king, your own ways of doing things as your own king. But where are they now? God says, I want to be your king. Then I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up his sinner's head. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he shall not stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. That means that when you actually choose the philosophies of this world, and when you live the way you want to live, when you have trouble, you are not going to be able to take it. Like a woman who gave birth, he says, you guys are unwise. That woman gave birth, you cannot, you'll probably die in your delivery. That's what he's saying here. But in verse number 14, he said, I will ransom you from the power of the grave. God says, I want you to make me your God so I can help you. I don't know about you, as pastor, probably I've heard so many, I have the privilege of knowing so many problems. You know, my first rule is this. I will ask this question, do you want help? You know the sad thing, many people say no. You know what God is pleading? Make me your God, so that I can help you. Christian ministers, counselors, parents, as you work with your children, you know, sometimes when they reject you, Sunday school teachers, when you look at a child who doesn't want to walk with God, in your heart you need to burn with compassion, but no, you cannot force them, but you need to ask them, do you want help? As you reach out to them. And when they say, if you want help, I'm going to reach out to you. That's what God does. Israel, make me your God. Literally, God is pleading with them, make me your God. Because in me is thine help. God says in verse 14, Hosea 13, I will ransom them from the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy place. And I will get rid of death. Death will be so afraid of me, God says. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. There's one point I think is missing from yours, but point number 6. God appeals through repeated calls. Hosea chapter 12 verse 10. Just moving back a bit. I have also spoken to other prophets. I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. What God is saying, I've called you again and again and again and again and again. You know, I thank God for my wife. You know, she will call again and again. People have not come to church for a long time. She will send cards. She will disturb. Basically disturb them. And God will somehow do something. And thank God some of them have come back to the Lord. You know what? Every Christian and ambassador is one of God's prophets to call someone back to God. If you have a heart, like Brother Ping Kong shared, so if you have invited your friend, you know what you're doing? You are like God, calling these people back. Come, let's go. Get them back to God. God appeals to repeated calls. Point number 3. Firstly, the pride of Israel. In the pleading of God, now the punishment of Israel. I just very quickly go through it. Hosea 11 verse 5. Hosea 11 verse 5, notice the gravity of the punishment. In verse 5, he shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king. Because they refused to return. The point is, they will not return to Egypt, because in Egypt it's merely slavery, but in Assyria it's going to be torture and death. In other words, I'm not going to bring you back to Egypt. That's too easy for you. I'm going to bring you to Assyria. I'm going to punish you with the Assyrians. Verse 6, the next one. The sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them. Why? Because of their own counsels. Point number 2, under punishment of Israel, judgment will continue because they continue in their own rationalizations and their own reasoning. You know, ever since we had some people from the Calvinistic camp who came in, I've got to talk with them. I begin to understand what it means when they say Pharaoh and God is sovereign over all, and how Pharaoh rejected God. But you know what? When Pharaoh rejected God, he rejected God because of his own sinful pride. And God says, I already knew that he's going to do that. God then moved Pharaoh to reject him. Pharaoh, in his pride, really rejected God. And God said, alright, this is very frightening, but listen carefully. When you have heard God's word, and in our understanding, we have rejected him one time, God will call rejecting him the second time. Over time, God says, I am going to allow you to go your way. And when you stand before God, you can't blame God and say, God, how come you let me do that? You know what God's going to say? Because of your own counsel. Because you chose that way. Kind of like a child. Sometimes you teach children to write, maybe they have to write in a certain way. But you know what? They tend to write another way. They erase and try to write again. And after a while, they begin to push away your hand. I've got children pushing away my hand. You know why? There's a small indication of pride. Don't disturb me. I can do it. Nothing wrong with trying to be independent. But you know what? If you've been writing that same word 10 times and you're getting wrong every time, I think it's time to get some help. But you know what? When we push God's hand away, God says, all right, the judgment will continue because you continue in your own rationalization that you are okay. I've taken this principle, and I believe this is consistent with the scriptures. After repeated pleadings, and the person doesn't come wrong, you know what God says? Let him alone. How I've seen church members all over. There was one particular guy who was, you don't know this guy, 20 years ago, okay? And he was faithful to God, and after he went away from God, you know what? He was involved in a car accident. I think he was coma for 2 to 4 months. And when he emerged awake from the coma, he had permanent brain injuries. Not a very good way to live. Don't test God. I'm not threatening you. This is the scripture. At the same time that I'm preaching this, literally I'm dealing with this right now. Consequences, you know what? Whatever that's happened over the last few weeks or whatever, I cannot tell you, but you know, as pastor, whatever that's happened has reinforced my conviction. Keep preaching against sin. Because you cannot get away from sin. God says, you know, sometimes it's an Old Testament. Tell me what God is, the Old Testament is going to judge us. No, it's still in the New Testament. It's happening right now. Judgment will continue. Point number 3. Look at Hosea 13, verse 7 and 8. God says, therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. You know, can you imagine a bear bereaved of her whelp? The bear is probably 3 or 4 times my size. And then the bear, mother bear is, I'm not talking about those, whatever you show, they're very cute, right, the bears in those movies. I don't think you want to face a bear that is bereaved of the whelps. He's going to crush you. God says, I'm going to be like the kind of bear. I'm going to face you. God was supposed to be their heavenly father taking care of Israel. God says, I'm now going to be your judge. God becomes a judge towards them. Alright, I will meet thee as a bear that is bereaved of whelps. I will rend the collar of their heart, and I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. And then, the next verse, it talks about they will lose their... I kind of lost this verse. What's this verse? Sorry, are you in Hosea? Or have you just stopped and started to just listen to what I say? Hosea chapter 13, I believe. 13 verse 15, the Bible says, though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come out from the wilderness, and his spring shall be become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure, all the pleasant vessels. They will lose their productivity. You know, sometimes we think that, oh God, I'm doing very well, you know, everything is going for me. God says, I'm going to wipe out your productivity. I'm going to destroy your productivity. That's what he says. I'll just read in Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4. Let's turn there, Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4. This is an interesting passage. Haggai, chapter 1, I'll just read. The Bible says in verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O you, referring to Israel, to dwell in your sealed houses? What sealed houses means? Decorated houses. Is it time for you to live in houses that have everything sealed, have the idea of being decorated, well taken care of, while this house, referring to the house of God, lie waste? This has to do with the time when King Cyrus allowed Nehemiah and Ezra to go back to rebuild the temple walls. And what happened was, there was some resistance, remember? Nehemiah had some resistance. And then they actually stopped building for 15 years. And what they did was, they went back and they kind of took care of their house. And Haggai and Zechariah started to prophesy, look, how can you go back 15 years, settle all your own things, and God's house remain like a dump? Literally, all destroyed. Look at verse, now therefore consider, says the Lord, consider your ways. Verse 5, verse 8, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warmth. Ye that earneth wages to put him into a bag with holes. Huh? You know what God is saying? Misplaced priorities. God says, You guys are not putting me first. Telling the Israelites. And you're going to do things in this world? And you're going to earn the money? And after that, all your pocket got lobang? Huh? All your money start dropping out with holes. And many Christians complain, oh, God never blessed me. Why? Because you don't put God first. The point, the punishment of Israel, you will lose your productivity. Any Christian who knows he's supposed to put God first and doesn't, and continue in that way, God says you will lose your productivity over time. Question is, are we in that camp? Finally, the process for return. Hosea chapter 14, the most marvelous verse in the entire book of Hosea. As we finish the whole book of Hosea, God pleads one final time with the children of Israel. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Because of your sin, Israel, you have fallen away from me. Number one, the call to return to the Lord. Israel has been called. Is God calling us today? Are there things in our life as a Christian that God is saying, I want you to come back from that? You have misplaced your priorities. And as a result, there are things in your life. You know, if you are facing the hurts and the pain, if there are things happening and you are asking yourself why, but you know, perhaps in Hosea 14:1, God is saying, return to me, for thou hast fallen by your sin. Iniquity has to do with sin based on knowledge. I know it's wrong, but I continue to do it. God is asking us to come back. Verse number 2, respond, repent, and return to the Lord. Hosea goes to say, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the counsel of our lips. Now, what Hosea is saying here, don't try to use your own intellect anymore. Confession, listen carefully, if you ever want to come back from God, confession is saying, I admit what God says is right, and I totally concur with God. That means, let's say, if I offended Joshua, and Joshua was angry, and Joshua pays my wages and other things, and say, Johnny, you did this. Yeah, sorry, I really tried. You took away my pen, and you didn't give me back. Yeah, sorry, I took your pen. I'm sorry, can you forgive me? Yeah. Then after, you never work overtime, I asked you to. Sorry, I should work overtime. Whatever words he's giving me, I'm giving back to him. I agree with him. Why? Because I'm wrong. You know what God says? God says, you have sinned. You know what you need to say? Yes, I have, Lord, I'm sorry. You weren't faithful. Yes, I am, Lord, I weren't faithful. You know what we tend to do? When we say, God says, I'm not faithful. Hey, you need to understand me, you know. Right? Isn't that what we always do? No wonder as Christians we don't grow. Oh, I've got this so many times. I preached this in 1995. I'll say this again. Don't but God. It's not worth it. Don't but God. God says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all my sin, Lord. Receive us graciously, so we will render the curse of our lips. Verse number 3. Show the evidence of your return to the Lord. Usher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the God work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. You know what? In verse 3 is very important. First, God asks us to return. Number 2, we respond to God. Number 3, we tell God, God, I am going to speak your language from now on. I repent of my sin. God, yes, you were right that I was unfaithful to you. Yes, you were right, I stole your time. Yes, you were right, I was unforgiving. Yes, you were right, I hated this person. Yes, you were right, I should have done more for you, Lord. Yes, you were right, I should have put in more effort. Yes, you were right. This is what he says first. We're going to tell you, God, those people out there are not going to save us. Only you will save us, Lord. You know what? The total change of heart. The evidence of our change. There must be a verbal and lifestyle change. This is so important. When you listen carefully, if you ever want to return to God, your past life must be a thing of the past. You must reject it and say, I will no longer do that again. I am not going to do that again. I have seen people, after they have become a Christian, all their rock music is deleted from their computers. That's renunciation. I'm no longer going to access those websites anymore. I'm no longer going to go with this crowd anymore. Why? Because I love God more. Because I know if I access this website, I'm going to get filth. I'm going to get all the things of this world. I cut it straight. I'm going to stop subscribing to magazines that I shouldn't be subscribing to. I'm going to stop. If I've been taking things without people's knowledge, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to confess. That's renunciation. And totally changing. There must be a verbal and lifestyle change. There needs to be a renunciation of past sins. And past sins that we have done that is wrong. You know, at the end of all this, God lists now 10 blessings. If we will do that. Alright, I'll just go through. Number 1, Hosea 14 verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. Number 1, there will be a healing of your spiritual backsliding. The moment you repent and come back to God, God says, I'm going to bring you back. Immediately healing. Number 2, there will be an outpouring of God's love, and I will love them freely. Number 3, my anger is turned away from Him. God's anger will be turned away. In other words, God will withdraw His judgments. Okay? Hosea 14 verse 5, I will be as dew unto Israel. Christian life now becomes a refreshment. God becomes our refreshment. Okay? Point number 5, this is interesting. He shall grow as the lily. I will just read this. Lilies will bring beauty, color, and fragrance to your garden for many years. They only require you to plant them in the right place and provide for their simple needs. The Bible says, he shall grow as a lily. It means that you are going to influence your surroundings for good. Lilies will bring fragrance to your garden. Lilies will bring good things to you. You will begin to influence your surroundings for good. Next one. God says, I will cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Oh, this is interesting. This has to do with stability. Are you looking for stability in your Christian life? God says if you will turn back to Him, He says, I will make you, you will cast forth your roots as Lebanon. I was just doing a bit of research on this. For every meter above the ground, the cedar trees of Lebanon go down 3 meters deep. So for 1 meter, 3 meters of root. Okay, and what cedar trees can grow higher than 25 meters tall. Therefore, the maximum length of their roots is 72 meters. You know what God says? I will cast forth your roots as the roots of Lebanon. In other words, if you will come back to me, I'm going to make you stable as a Christian. I'm going to make you concrete, all right? Stable. The next one, in verse 6. His branches shall spread. That has to do with growth, okay? Spreading. And his beauty shall be as the olive tree. This has to do with character. In the Bible, beauty is always associated with the olive tree. This phrase represents the fruit of a Christian that decorates his life with the beautiful fruit of Christ-likeness. God says that if you will come back to me, your beauty will be as the olive tree. Your character that people can see will become strong. Okay, I'll just read this. Beauty, one X makes one beautiful or not. Not his superficial looks. In other words, true beauty is not found in appearance. His or her face and body is beautiful, but how one behaves and carries oneself defines the beauty in the person. God says, if you will turn back to me, I will make your beauty as the olive tree. It's not what you look, how you look, what you do to yourself. That's what God is saying. It is the beauty of an olive tree, the character within a person. I thank God, Ambassador Baptist Church, many Christians have character. You know what? We need people with character. God is looking for people with character. Not how one be. The appearance doesn't justify or doesn't bring out the beauty, but how one behaves and carries oneself defines the beauty in this person. Remember this phrase, beauty is as beauty does. Beauty is as beauty does. Does it make sense? Beauty is defined by what you do. You can have the prettiest girl, but she's just lazy and... How are you today? Versus another lady who's kind of... But she works hard and all that. Guess who? People will be attracted to. That's her character. Person who works hard. And his smell is Lebanon. The smell has to do with the smell, the nice odor of trees. It has to do with a testimony. You will have a testimony. Hosea 14 verse 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return and they shall revive as the corn. There will be revival in the person's heart as they grow. And grow as a vine, that's regrowth. The scent thereof shall be as a wine of Lebanon. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? There's going to be separation in a person's life. In the last verse, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Notice this. The final question in the book of Hosea is this. Who is wise and will understand this? The prudent person, the right, the just person, will know what is right and will walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. As we close the book of Hosea, can I just ask you, is God speaking to us in general? You know, Hosea is a book that God is calling people back from the sinfulness of life, the sinfulness of this world. Life, yeah, is corrupted. But you know, as Christians, we don't have to be corrupted. Don't allow the corruption of this world to rub off on you. What we need to do is to, by our holiness, influence them. Change things around. Does it make sense? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. We went 4 chapters, Lord. It should have been 4 hours, but we were able to finish it tonight. But God, there are 4 points you have taught us from Hosea, the pride of Israel, your pleading, your punishment on Israel because of their refusal to come clean with you, and then the process for return. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to us in a personal way. Lord, in the light of the blessings that are flowing from heaven from January till now, in the light of the blessings that are flowing to us probably, most possibly in the next 50 years, we stand at a time at the end of this book of Hosea looking up to heaven. Number one, Lord, we thank you for loving us so much. God, we thank you that you have given us so many things that we do not deserve at all. There are many things that in our lives we know, Father, can be better. God, I pray for one Christian now who is struggling with his Christian life. Someone, Lord, who says, I want to do right, but God, help down my unbelief. I pray for you to strengthen that Christian. Father, I pray also for a Christian who doesn't listen. Lord, who find it so hard to just listen to you. Or the Christian life has become mundane, become boring. And I'm a Christian because of my dad or mom, or I'm in the church. Lord, I pray you will renew this love in their hearts. Lord, I pray for a Christian who knows that their sin. Oh God, how you dealt with Israel, and how, Lord, as we hear Hosea 11 verse 8, as you perhaps shouted and say, how can I give you up, Ephraim? Lord, we see your heart of love for us. How many times you would have destroyed us, but God, your love stopped you. More than that, your love provided a way of salvation on the cross. Lord, we thank you for that. If eyes closed, heads bowed, won't go long. Just want to ask a question. Has God spoken to you? It's not about how much I know about you, but how much God knows about you. I don't know much, I don't know many things that you may hide. But you know what? God's here and says, I'm not going to give you up. The fact that you are here, you're in God's will by wanting to listen to God's word. And you know what? This message is not for someone who's not here. This message is for someone who is here. And you're saying, Rajani, God has spoken to me. I need you to pray for me that God will give me strength to overcome where I need to overcome. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. I just pray. Amen. I can see that hand immediately. Amen. Those hands too. Amen. All over. Just, you know, I encourage you as you put up your hand, you pray with tears in your hearts. Maybe God forgive me. And just, yes, I can see the hand. Pour out your love to God. Know that God loves you. And that's why He's doing this. Amen. I see that hand too. Just put out your hand and pray. And you know what? We're in a company of love. Because where the presence of God is, there is love. God is love. As you put up your hand, it's an indication of your sincerity before God. My job is just to pray for you. But you know what? You need God's help in your heart. I need God's help in my heart. Is there anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me. That God will help me. That God will help me to overcome. Amen. I see that hand too. Just put it down and pray. I will... In the process of return, I will heed God's call to return. I will repent of my ways, and I will show forth the evidence of change. Yes, it will take time, but you know we are in a company of Christians. We know each other. But God just wants us to walk the way that will help anyone else. Let's pray. Father, I commit the heads that have gone up into your hands. Lord, I know that you are personally ministering to each one in a way that I can't. But only you can. Lord, I pray you speak in a powerful way. Use the specific word that you have given to them, the specific thought that you have given to them. Lord, use that particular way. Reinforce that with your word. God, that they can see that you love them so much. And God, it cannot be business as usual if we are to move forward for you. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for showing us through the book of Hosea, Lord, how much you want us to change and be like you. Thank you for your abiding love. We know as we leave this place, God, we go home in your love. That nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray for everyone that's put up their hand once again. And I pray in the next 3 months, as they yield to you, Lord, their lives will change. The people will know their change. The families will know their change. Not because of what I said, but because of what the Holy Spirit will do. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts continually, Lord, that they might walk with you. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take some prayer requests. And before we do that, can I just say this for those who put up your hand? Take it seriously. Write down something in your Bible that you have, whatever thing that came to your mind, write it down. And just between you and God, every time you read your Bible, say, Lord, I remember you speaking to me in this area. Help me. Write down a very clear goal. I will, whatever. I will stop my whatever. Okay? So that it's very clear how God wants you to move forward.